Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
As you're standing, let me just share something with you, a revelation that I had. A lot of us, and we're in a church that encourages like nobody else. We are constantly encouraging other people. And I had a thought and a kind of new revelation I'm sure a lot of you have had before. But it was a revelation of, in high school, we had a class called ceramics. And ceramics was making pottery and making all kinds of things. I wasn't in it, but a lot of people were, so I always saw the pots. Never once did I go up to a pot or a bowl or a cup and praise the bowl for being beautiful. I know it sounds crazy, but never once did I do that. And it was a revelation of God is, and we know this from the Bible, that He is the potter and we are the clay. He is the potter and we are the clay. Encouragement is so good, but it's not praise. Encouragement builds up, but praise lifts up. Encouragement builds somebody up, but my praise lifts him up, exalts him above everything else. So can I encourage you before we get around the Word of God and before we get into this and open up our Bibles and dive into it and see God transform us, can we just for 15 seconds maybe give God some praise that lifts Him up above everything else? Lifts Him up above our situation. Lifts Him up above our circumstance. Lifts Him up above our problem. Lifts Him up above our difficulty. Lifts Him up above our sickness. Lifts Him up above everything that is happening in the world. Come on, why don't you give Him some praise today? Give Him some praise. We thank You, God, for using us. For using us to change the world, to flip the world right side up. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can give somebody a high five. You can take your seat. So glad you're here with us. Thanks, team. Can we put our hands together and thank the worship team? Next level. What a beautiful song that Providence wrote. Oh, my goodness. I'm excited for this fall when those songs get to be spread throughout the world. And it's exciting stuff. So as we get into the Word, I want to welcome again everybody who is online, watching at our online campus, people from Italy and Malaysia. I love Malaysia. Been there a few different times. And it's a really fun place. It is a really scary place. Not like what's going to happen, but just there's like kids riding on the back of motorcycles with no helmets. They go for it, man. They'd probably fit right in here at C3 Church. You guys are a little bit crazy. You know what I mean? You guys are a little bit fired up. I'm excited for Easter. I'm excited for what's going to happen this week, Good Friday service. Can I encourage you to bring somebody, invite somebody to Good Friday service? There is something powerful that happens at those services. It's not just a time where we come and check it off the list, but it's a time where we come and have communion and encounter the presence of God. The day that the blood of Jesus was spilt for us, we get to come into the house of God and activate that and grab that and get that again refreshed on the inside of us. And so this is a Sunday before Easter. So today, the message, the purpose, the plan, the point of today is firing you up so that when you leave here, you go out to your workplace, your neighborhood, your school, your family, wherever you are, wherever your sphere of influence is, and you compel people to fill the house of God. Jesus says, compel them. Go onto the highways, the byways. Go anywhere and everywhere that you can and compel them to fill my house because I want my house full. So words of Jesus. It's the words of Jesus that we kind of debate still. Is that what Jesus wants? Is it all about numbers? Well, according to Jesus, yes. According to him, it is because he wants his house full. He wants his house full. The Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish. So it's God's will that everybody would come to know him. It's God's will that everybody would come to church on Easter Sunday and every life would be changed and every life would be radically transformed. And so we are encouraging you, we're empowering you, we're challenging you, like Pastor Charles said, to take those 6 invite cards and hand them out to people that you know, to give them out. But listen, a lot of us will hand them out with a here you go and a walk away, because we're required to do that. But today I want to shift something in our lives so that we are compelled to not just hand it out, but to bring them in. Not just to hand something out, but to actually bring them in with us. And so what I've noticed is this, and I want you to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 17. In verse 17 of Acts chapter 4, basically, this is after the disciples are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and everything changes. They are starting to flip the world right side up because at this point it's upside down. And right now, some of us know that the world isn't really right side up, it's upside down. And it's our job as Christians and ministers and pastors and leaders and people who are followers of Jesus to turn the world right side up the way that God intended it to be, the way that God destined it to be, the way that the will of God would happen here as it is happening in heaven. So we need to turn the world right side up. And so we see this in the Bible that they're going out and doing all these kinds of miracles and changing the world. And in verse 17, because anytime you do something incredible for God, people will complain. Anytime you're on fire for God, people want to quench your fire. Anytime you're passionate for God, people want to quench that fire. People want to put that out because now you look like you're more in love with God than they are. And so they want to squash you. They want to pull you down. They want to bring you down to their level. And so we see this, these people who are meant to be pastors and leaders and priests and all the ministers of the people and the children of God, that these people now saw the disciples as competition. So instead of joining them and making a difference, they decided to try to pull them down so that they could still remain in the position that they were in. And so we see in verse 17, it says this, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, there's a lot of but Peters and Johns in the Bible. I believe there's a lot of but Peters and Johns in C3 San Diego. There's a lot of, yeah, people are telling me to be quiet, but I'm going to shout even more. People are telling me to be silent about the good things of God, but I'm going to shout even more. It says, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and the things which we have heard. I said, whether you think it's right or not, I don't give a rip. Because I'm just telling you, we have seen some things. We have heard some things. We have experienced some things. We have encountered a living and powerful God. So I cannot help but speak about it and tell people how great and good our God is. So today we're going to give you invite cards. You're going to get invite cards to go and tell everybody. But they're only as powerful as your revelation of who God is to you. They're only as powerful as your last encounter with him. A lot of us aren't inviting anybody because we haven't seen or heard anything lately. The disciples say we can't help but speak about it because we've seen some things. We have heard some things. We have experienced some things. Today, I want to motivate you to next week that every 6 people, all 6 invites come with you to the house of God. I want to motivate you and I want to put something in you. But unless today we can see some things and hear some things, then it's not just a conviction. It's not a revelation. It's just something that we're told to do, so we do it. I want there to be some motivation behind it today. I wanted God to fire you up today so you can step into, man, I saw some things. I heard some things. I experienced some breakthrough. There's a whole lot of workout programs out there and weight loss programs and all these. Yeah, that's right. Shouting it down. Praise God. And there's a whole lot of those out there. And the whole kind of goal is, listen, let something happen to you, and then you tell somebody else, who tells somebody else, who tells somebody else, who tells somebody else. And that's the whole model. The only reason it's powerful is because the first person had some results. The first person had some change. The first person had something different happen to them. And because something different happened to them, they now have a conviction to tell other people about it. They now have results. Look what happened to me, so I'm going to tell other people about it. See, the reason it might be hard to tell other people about Jesus is because it's been a long time since God did something in you. It's been a long time since God did something through you. It's been a long time since you had some results in your life, in your walk with God, in your relationship with God. You're going through the motions and you read your Bible, but if you were to be really honest, when was the last time you've seen some things? When was the last time you've seen some things? I'm doing CrossFit right now. And the reason that we're getting a bunch of other people to do CrossFit with us, and let me tell you why. Tell you why, because we've gone in there and we've seen some results. We've seen some results. And the cool thing, when you walk in there, you see what you want to be like. You see what you want to be like. CrossFit is the only place where you walk in and you look, and a guy looks at the girls, you're like, I want to look like that. Listen, I'm just being honest. You've seen them before. They're incredible. So anyways, just to back up my point of whatever. So I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about this concept of, can we tell people and bring people because we encountered him again, because we met him again, because we had an encounter and God shifted and changed everything. So I want to ask you, when was the last time you had that? When was the last time you were in the presence of God and not just a church service? But you're in the presence of God and everything changed. When you're in the presence of God and everything shifted. When you're in the presence of God and your whole paradigm changed of who God is and who he is to you and for you and what he's going to do through you. Can we make a decision to not just sit in service and not just get through service, not just endure another Sunday, but can the impartation happen in us that overflows to everybody that is around us? If God does something in you, it's always more than enough. Anytime God does something in you, it's not just for you. Anytime God does something in you, it's for everybody around you. Every time you worship, it's not just for you. Every time you worship, it is for somebody sitting next to you. Every time you give, it is not just for you. It is for somebody that is sitting next to you. Every time you pray, it is not just for you. It is for somebody around you. Everything you do, God wants to get it in you, and he can get it through you because God does more than enough. He gives you overflow so that you have more for other people around you. So today I'm believing that God is going to do something in us so that he can get something through us and so that our friends and our family and our neighbors and our colleagues all come to church and know God next Sunday, have a massive radical conversion and an encounter with the living and powerful God, because here on Palm Sunday you had an encounter and an overflow came out of you. Because I know there's some people, we haven't seen some things or heard some things in a long time. And I believe it's for a reason. And that's what I want to preach about. So Psalms chapter 92. Psalms chapter 92, and a lot of you will know this. This is one of the famous verses that every pastor quotes because he gets people in church. So this is it right now, but it is powerful. Psalms 92 in chapter 92 in verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. I'm going to break that scripture down in just a moment, but one of my favorite channels to watch, in fact, probably my favorite channel to watch is Discovery Channel. Can I get an amen? Discovery Channel. Discovery Channel has all these great shows on. I could spend all day watching all the different shows on Discovery Channel. But by far, my favorite genre of Discovery Channel shows is anything and everything to do with Alaska. I don't know if you're with me. The 830 crowd was with me, okay? They were fired up about Alaska. So anything to do with Alaska. I love what they do. I love how they survive. There's something about us watching people who are in freezing cold temperatures barely surviving. We're like, I want to see more. show me more. And it's awesome. And there's the reality shows. And one of my favorites is a show called Alaska, The Last Frontier. Basically, this whole entire family is on a homestead. I'm trying to convince my wife that at some point we'll have that. And she keeps saying no. And but I'm prophesying that we don't have to always live there, but I need a place like that just in case. You know what I mean? Just in case. So Alaska, The Last Frontier, and it's a show that shows how they live, how they survive, how they make it, and all their houses and their buildings and the new things that they've manufactured and all of that. But if you know anything about Alaska, Alaska has extreme seasons, and you have a beautiful summer, but then you have a massively harsh winter. A massively harsh winter, and if you don't, and even sometimes the summers can be difficult and harsh as well. And if you don't prepare in the summertime, you won't have anything in the wintertime. But you see this, and you see people who don't make it in Alaska, and the reason that people don't make it in Alaska is because they haven't prepared and they haven't learned. They haven't manufactured things to help them survive through the winter seasons in their life. The winter seasons. This family in Alaskan, The Last Frontier, now survives and flourishes. They don't just go from surviving, they actually go to thriving, because what they did is they created an environment called a greenhouse. So the title of this message, and they're going to put it up, is The Greenhouse Effect. They created this greenhouse effect because, and I'm going to break it down for you. A lot of us know about the seed. A lot of us know about the seed. We know that we have to sow a seed. We know that we have to plant the seed. A lot of us know about the soil. So I got to take my seed, I got to put it in the soil, and then now I need to expect that a harvest is going to come from that thing. But what I've actually discovered, there's not just a seed, and there's not just soil, but there's also the environment. So you can't take a great seed and plant it in great soil in the middle of winter and expect a harvest to come. So a lot of us, we need to see some things and hear some things, and we're in the place where we've been sowing our seed, and we've been planting it in good soil, but we still don't have a harvest, all because the environment that we are planting it in is not one that is going to help something that we've planted to grow and flourish. So today, over the next few minutes, I want to shift how we see and how we bring and change the environment that the seed we have is planted in. It is our job and it is our duty to change the environment that the seed is planted in. That is what God is calling us to do. A lot of us are in here, and every single weekend we will give our seed, we will give our tithe, we will give our offering. And we know it's a good seed planted in good soil, but still no harvest. Because what we don't realize is in the middle of our sowing of our seed in the good soil, we're still in a winter season. How? Because every time you give, I bet this isn't going to work. Every time you give, I don't know if I fully trust God. And so you're bringing your seed in winter and wondering why there's no harvest. Every time you give, there's no faith. Every time we give, there's no encounter. Every time we give, there's no, yes, I believe it. I thank you, God, for blessing me. God, I thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you that you're about to open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing on me that there will not be room enough to receive it. God, we're not speaking that. We're speaking death. So every time our seed goes out, we curse it and kill it before it even gets planted. We kill our seed, we kill our harvest. There's a lot of us not having a harvest right now. It's not because the seed is wrong. It's not because the soil is wrong. It's because we are planting things in winter. It's because we're in the wrong season of our life, because we are confessing things, and before the seed can take root and grow, we are cursing it and killing it and providing a winter environment. It doesn't matter how much I stand over this seed. It doesn't matter how much I fertilize it and water it. If I'm still in winter, nothing is going to grow. Nothing is going to grow. And so today I want to tell us that we need to be people who can shift the environment that we live in. We need people that can change the environment that we live in, where we can see something happen in our life. You want to have a breakthrough. You want to have a miracle. You want to be like Peter and John that walk into your work next week, that walk into Starbucks, or that walk into school, that walk into around your neighborhood and say, hey, I've seen some things. I've heard some things. And I cannot help but speak about what I've seen, because I had a seed, I had some soil, and I changed my environment. And now I'm seeing some fruit and a harvest come out of it. Everybody, every one of you has a harvest, and today we have to change the environment that our seed is in so we can see the breakthrough that God has for us. We have to change how we speak. We have to change how we think. We have to change these patterns in our life so we can step into all that God has for us. Psalms chapter 92 in verse 13 says this, and I read it, but I'm going to read it again. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. Those who are planted, those who have changed the atmosphere, even in a season that everybody told them that they shouldn't be reaping, are going to be reaping. Even in a season when everybody told them that they're not going to have a harvest, they're having a harvest. Why are you having a harvest? Isn't your season over? Isn't it done? There's winter happening. The economy is bad. Nobody should be buying homes. Nobody should be selling. Nobody should be doing all of that right now. Why are you still flourishing? Because you have changed the environment that you live in, the environment that you operate in, the environment that you speak. You are changing everything around you. I have three girls. One of them is 3 and a half. The other twin girls are 1.5 years. And we got these things a couple weeks ago on Amazon, this butterfly farm. And it's not a butterfly farm. It's tiny little caterpillars that are this big, little inch things. They come in these containers, and basically you just stare at them for about 10 days. And after about 10 days, they crawl up. They grow about 10 times bigger. And they crawl up to the top of the container, and they hang there. And as they hang there, they then create an environment around them. They create an environment around them to help them grow to all that God created them to be. Just like the butterfly, you and I have to do the same thing. You and I have to create an atmosphere around us, an environment around us, a place around us. It doesn't matter if winter is happening on the outside, there's still a harvest happening on the inside. There is still growth happening on the inside. It doesn't matter what everybody is telling around me, because I know what God has said in me and God has said to me. And so when winter is happening and cold is happening and everybody isn't sowing and nobody is reaping, I know I can still have a harvest because I've created an atmosphere around me. What I've noticed is this: if we want people to be fired up about God, if we want people to come to church, if we want people to experience and encounter a living and a powerful God, you and I need to have that encounter as well. You and I need to have the harvest time. You and I need to have that moment where we step out of this place and say, God, here it is. I'm in my harvest moment. It's winter all around me, but harvest is still happening within me because I shifted my environment. Because I shifted my environment. A few weeks ago, about a month ago, one of our youth leaders has had a medical kind of condition for a little while, where every once in a while his temperature will spike and there's nothing he can do to get it down. Usually after a little bit of medication, the temperature will subside and will go down after about a day or so. About a month ago, it wasn't happening. He had this massively high temperature for a couple days in a row. And it got so bad that his wife said, listen, we have to go to the emergency room because I don't know what to do anymore. So they take him to the emergency room, and they check him in, and the doctor immediately hooks him up to an IV and puts him in the intensive care unit. He's laying down in a bed, and they're trying to give him medication. They're trying to get this temperature down. They put ice packs all around him and cold rags on his forehead, and they're trying to get his temperature down. His heart starts to race, and the doctors start getting all worried and don't know what to do. And they eventually end up putting him in a medical-induced coma to try to get him and his body to recuperate and rest and get back to the temperature that he was meant to be at. After they did that, the doctor comes out to his wife in the waiting room. Comes out in the waiting room and he says to her, listen, it's not looking good. It's not looking good right now. We don't really know what to do because we don't really know what's wrong. They had no solution to the problem because they didn't know what was wrong with him. So they said, I know this is scary, but I need you to call all the family. I need you to call all his friends. I need you to call anybody that would like to see him because I've never seen this before, and we don't know if he's going to last the night. He's about 26 years old. A 26-year-old man who a couple days before was doing fine. Now 3 days later, the doctor is telling everybody that this is his last night he's going to be alive. And so rightfully so, she doesn't know what to do. So she calls and texts everybody And so we come down at about midnight in the hospital, a bunch of the team and the leaders. In fact, there were so many of us, some people couldn't get in, and so they went into the parking structure facing the room that he was in. And they opened up the doors of the parking structure and started blaring worship music and were praying in the middle of a parking structure. The security guards started to come. They thought they were putting out like a party or a rave. Little did they know that it was a prayer session and a prayer meeting happening for this man. So he's in there, and we get to the hospital, and his wife, you can tell, is going through a difficult and a hard time. And so we go into the hospital room, and he's hooked up to all these machines, and he's passed out, and he's in a weird place at this moment where everybody thinks that this is it. His parents think that this is it. But we go in there, and we know that right now there's an environment of winter. There's an environment where nothing can grow and flourish. So we could come in with just a prayer. We could come in just good soil. But we knew we also had to change the environment that was there. If you've ever gone to pray with anybody in the hospital, you can't just go just with your Bible and just start speaking scripture. You have to change the environment that you're in. Because if you don't change the environment, nothing's going to grow. Nothing's going to plant. Nothing's going to flourish, and nothing's going to bring forth fruit if we don't change the environment of the hospital room. So we get in there, and basically what we say is, listen, if you don't have faith and if you don't really believe in this and you need to leave, you need to get out of here, because we're going to shut the door and we're going to put worship music on, and we're not praying that he just goes peacefully. We're not just praying that something gets better. No, we're praying that he walks out of this hospital. Because they're saying that even if he does, he's not going to walk out, that he's never going to be the same, that he's never going to be able to return to his job, that all of these things, nothing's ever going to be the same after this moment. But we went in there day after day and night after night, and people were going almost every hour to pray for him, anointing his head with oil, declaring the Psalms over his life. That 10,000 will fall at his side, but it will not come near him. Speaking and changing the environment. That when we first went in there, it was winter. But as we left, there was a harvest. Because a couple weeks after he went in there, the doctor gave him a report that he was going to die. 2 weeks later, he walked out of there. Not in a wheelchair, not barely, on his 2 feet, stood up and walked out of the hospital room. Because a bunch of people and leaders changed the environment. I'm convinced that if God can change your environment, you're going to have a harvest. And if you can have a harvest, then you're going to tell other people about it. If you can have the breakthrough and the miracle, then you better believe nobody's going to be able to silence you from telling people about how awesome God is. That was Peter and John. It doesn't matter. You can judge. You can determine if it's right or not. But there is something in me that has to come out of me. Because I've seen it. I've heard it. I've experienced it. It wasn't just something that I read. It was an encounter that I had. And everything changed. And everything shifted. And everything moved in my life. And had the keys come up. This is kind of the introduction tonight, or this morning. But it has everything to do with where I'm going. Because in order for us to grab those invite cards and see this place filled next Sunday, we have to have a conviction on the inside of us that goes beyond, well, they're telling me to do it. It has to go to a place where we say, man, I've seen it, I've experienced it. God did a miracle in my life, and now I'm so fired up to tell other people about it. When God does something in you, you have to tell people about it. That's called your testimony that people are waiting and wanting to hear. Everybody's spirit is crying out for a Savior. Everybody's spirit is crying out for God. Everybody's spirit, doesn't matter if they're in Rancho Santa Fe, doesn't matter if they're in the poorest community, doesn't matter where they are, they're all created being by God that all cries out for a Savior and for a connection, for a relationship with God. And we have to have a conviction on the inside of us that what I got, you need to have. That what I have, you need to have. They still bear fruit in old age. The middle of winter, what looks like winter around, they still bear fruit. They will be fresh and flourishing. Which means this, that even in that moment, even in the moment where you think, well, I had a harvest 10 years ago, am I still going to have a harvest today? God says those who are planted in the house of God shall flourish, which means they're going to have a fresh harvest all the time. There's a fresh harvest waiting for you. There's a fresh encounter here today for you. There's a fresh anointing for you today. But we have to understand, how do we shift the atmosphere? How do we change the environment? How do we create that greenhouse effect that in the middle of the harshest conditions, I can still flourish? In the middle of the harshest conditions, I can still be praising God. I can still stand up and say, man, God is still blessing me today, because hell was all breaking loose around me, but I was still calm within me. But all happens from us changing our environment, changing how we speak, how we talk, how we act. How do we change the environment? Well, this is what I've discovered. What I've discovered is, to change our environment, we have to be people, one, who pray. Prayer, not prayer of just help me, God, or I hope you can do something, or if you're willing, bring me a harvest. God doesn't really want those prayers, or a dear God like we're writing him a letter. God is looking for some people who can pray, who can access heaven and pull it down to earth, who can push back the kingdom of darkness, so that the presence of God fills the room and fills your life. Pastor Juergen wrote a book. That's why he wrote it. Pray until something happens. Not hopefully, until. We have to be people that know how to pray. If you want to change the environment that is happening around you, then be somebody who prays. We don't have to wonder if it's God's will. We don't have to hope that maybe he wants me to have peace and life and abundance and blessing. We know it's already the case. So stop wasting so much time wondering if it's God's will and start stepping in and accessing his will. Stepping in and saying, God, I pray that your will that is happening in heaven will happen here on earth. As it is in heaven, let it be here. The environment that we live in, the environment that we're in. An environment that says everything is going to grow. The right seed, the right soil, and the right environment. We have to understand the season that we're in as well. What season are you in? If you were to be really honest, what's the season that you're in? Are you in fall? Are you in winter? Are you trying to plant something in the middle of winter and wondering why it's not growing? Are you trying to plant something in the middle of your winter time? When you plant it, do you curse it? Or when you plant it, do you pray over it? Every time you give your offering, is it hopefully this works? Or every time you give your offering, do you say, God, I thank you for opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for me to receive it? Are you cursing it before it has time to plant its roots down? Are we cursing the miracle? When we lift our hands, I need a miracle in the book of miracles time. I'll lift my hands, but I don't know if I believe it. And God says, I want to give it, but you're in winter. I want to give your miracle, but you're in winter. Nobody will be able to stop the movement and the spread of the power of God if all of us can change our environment. Change our environment, because then what happens in you, God is going to get through you and is going to get on other people. We have to change how we talk. We have to change the speech that comes out of our mouth and the words that we let into our life. One of my favorite emojis on the iPhone is the cancel emoji. When it's this one right here, cancel, cancel. I love that one, because you and I need to use it a little bit more. We need to use that cancel emoji a little bit more often. When the words that are spoken to us, you're never going to succeed. You're never going to make it. You're never going to get that job. You're never going to have that pay rise. You're never going to have that baby. You're never going to have that family. You're never going to get back together again. You're never going to have that house. When those words come in, we need to be really good at saying cancel. Sorry, cancel. I don't receive that. You can speak it, but I'm blocking it. Your winter words can stay outside, because I'm creating an environment inside where only things are going to grow. Sometimes you got to shut the door. That's why sometimes Jesus would shut the door when he went into certain places. He would shut the door. He would kick some people out who were only going to bring winter into the room with him. He said, I can't deal with your winter. I need somebody who believes in the harvest. And he would shut the door and would say, come in here. I need people who believe. I need people who are going to change the environment, not let the environment change them. That's why there's thermostats and thermometers. You either change with the temperature or you change it. We need to be people who change it, who we walk into a place, into a hospital room, and we command life to come back into this person again. We command hope to come back into this marriage again. We command peace to come back in the middle of this storm. We command the will of God, what is happening in heaven, to happen here on earth. We change the environment that we live in. We have to be people, lastly, that get anointed by God again. The anointing of God will change your environment. The anointing of God will change the atmosphere. The anointing of God will change everything around you. Let me share this story. Because when the anointing comes on you, it's not just meant for you. When the anointing of God comes on you, it's meant for people around you. I was talking to one of the girls in our youth ministry, one of the leaders. She was saying the first time that she got invited to youth, she came to youth on a Friday night. She thought it was pretty cool, so she signed up for summer camp, came to summer camp. It was there at summer camp that she got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, where she said, man, maybe I could be a pastor. Maybe I could be a leader. Maybe I could. Everything was changed in her life. She's now an intern right now, but if you don't take time to stop and listen and hear people's stories, all you do is see the harvest in the summer, and you forget about the winter that they came from. So her story basically is this, that mom and dad were married, but dad was an alcoholic and physically abused mom and her brother. On a daily basis, this would happen to her. Being physically, verbally abused. It got so bad that CPS had to come and make them divorce, and so dad had to leave, and the mom stayed with the two kids. Because mom was so devastated by this, she became an alcoholic as well. And then started physically abusing her. So she saw it from her dad and she saw it from her mom. She saw this happen to her on a daily basis. I was asking her because she came to our church when she was about a sophomore in high school. And I asked her, I said, well, when did this stop? She said, probably when I was about a junior in high school. A few months after she came is when it stopped. She walked into the doors of C3 San Diego, somebody who was abused, who was broken, who was in winter, who was in a place that nothing was growing, nothing was flourishing. Came to summer camp, and at summer camp, she got prophesied over, nobody knowing what her story was, that she was going to be a princess. Was spoken, those words were spoken over her life. She immediately said, from this day forward, I'm getting involved. From this day forward, I'm going to plant myself here. No parents supporting her. No parents encouraging her. Every time she would go home, it's like she was stepping into winter. But she remained steadfast in her spirit as a 16, 17, 18-year-old girl. Going home every single day to an environment that you would think nothing could ever grow here. Nothing could ever flourish here. No fruit could ever be seen here. She kept going home. She kept coming to church every week as much and as often as she could, serving on teams. Like I said before, she's now a leader of a bunch of teenage girls. And just this last week, I was talking to her because it was another incident, not with her, but her mom kind of making bad choices. And her mom, who has only physically abused her, and really, you wouldn't blame her if she just left home. The reason she hasn't left home is because she knows that she's there for her mom. She's there for her mom. And this incident happened. Her mom came home drunk. And her mom came home and she said, Mom, have you been drinking? And she just locks herself in the bedroom. And she hears her in the shower, and then she hears her fall in the shower. And so she tries to get in the room, but it's locked. She's saying, Mom, will you let me in? And her mom says, I'm not going to let you in. I'm not going to let you in. And you got to think at that moment, all these emotions are going to run through her head. All these emotions of, fine, I'm not going to help you. Well, I'm going to leave. All you've done is bad to me and negative to me. All you've done is created this environment that nothing can grow in. And I'm done with this thing. And nobody would blame her if she did that. Nobody would blame her. Nobody would look down at her if she just left because she's done everything that she can. But this 19-year-old girl who did not have the good dad, who did not have a good mom, can't get into the door. So she just says, okay, mom, well, I'm going to leave. But before I leave, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you, that I'm here for you whenever you need me. A 19-year-old girl, because in the middle of her winter, she created a harvest. In the middle when everybody said nothing good is going to happen. Let me tell you why we have to create an environment here. Because every time we create an environment at church, people can step into it just like this girl. They can step into an environment where they came from winter into summer. From winter into a harvest. From winter into man, God can still do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. God can still do it. Like I said, we need the anointing of God. We need the presence of God. And I believe my prayer today is every single person in here gets a new anointing from God today. Samuel shows up to anoint the new king of Israel. He shows up and Jesse brings all the sons out, all seven sons. There's eight, but he only brings seven. From the oldest to the youngest, except for David, who is the youngest. Samuel looks at all of them and says, nope, God's not on them. Is there anybody else? And Jesse says, well, the youngest, the worst, the least, the one who's not from the same mom, the one who's not going to get any of the inheritance that I have for him, he's still out there. The one that's not as good as the rest of them, he's still there. And Samuel says, call him. We will not sit down till he gets here. As soon as David walks through the door, God says, arise, anoint him, because he is the one. He takes this horn of oil and he anoints the head of David. And the Bible says from that day forward, David was filled with the Spirit of God. Everything changed because anointing fell. And I'll think, okay, well, why oil? Why oil? Why not water or something else that could wash out? Why not something else that wasn't so messy or inconvenient? And God said, let me tell you why I chose oil with a fragrance. He says, I chose oil as a fragrance to anoint people's head because long after the act of anointing, there's still evidence of the anointing. Long after the act of the anointing, there's still evidence of the anointing. So today I'm believing that God's going to anoint some people. He's going to put a different spirit on the inside of you. He's going to tell you how to change the environment around you. But the only way we can do that is by getting God's anointing on us. By getting God's anointing on us. That's why David says, he anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. He anoints my head. Thank you, God, for anointing us, for placing your spirit on the inside of us, for helping us change the atmosphere in us so that when there's winter around me, there's a harvest within me. God, thank you for what you're about to do right now. There's another young man. I'm going to close on this. The band can come. There's another young man. He was raised in a Christian home, a missionary kid, around all the right people and all the right things. All the right people and all the right things. And he got into music and super gifted, and God had blessed him in that. He started playing to about 40 kids and then 300 kids at a show. He started going from band to band. The next thing you know, he's in this band that's playing. Every time they would play to about 5,000 to 7,000 people every single time. Teenagers, college kids would play to them. So on the outside, it looked like he had everything. Everything was good. Everything was great. He ended up leaving the band, leaving that scene, and going to another company. And the company really took advantage of him and abused him. And he lost everything he had, all his reputation, everything he worked for, everything he went for. He lost it all. He was in a place, and if you ask him, he refers to it all the time where he says, I was in this place where I felt like I was in a gutter, depressed, with an eating disorder and a porn addiction and all these massive issues in his life. We said, this is it. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. So he ends up leaving L.A. and he moves back to his parents' home because he doesn't know where else to turn. He moves back and he gets around some of the right people, so things start to change a little bit on the inside of him. But he's still in this dark place. One day he's outside of his house, and across the street from him is a couple from our church. A couple from our church, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. across the street from who just moved in. They just moved in, and they start talking to him, and, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been to church. They say, well, why don't you come to church with us? Come and check it out. So if you ask him, and if you hear any of his stories, any of his posts, you would know that this guy is now on fire. He steps in for the very first time, and this is what he said. He said, man, I have never felt the presence of God like that. He says, from that moment, everything was restored to me. The passion, the dream, the vision, everything, by stepping in to a place where a team created an environment where even those who are in winter can have a harvest. He's now leading our entire North County, My City worship team, writing songs that are going to be heard and played around the world, changing everything because he stepped into an environment. He has brought more people to church in the last 8 months than I know anybody else has. People of influence, people who are in that scene, people who are broken. Every week, almost every single week, he brings at least one or two people to church. Why? Why? Because he had a Paul and John moment. He said, it doesn't matter what you tell me. I can't help but speak about what I've seen and what I've heard. I can't help but invite. I can't help but bring. Because I was in winter and I stepped into an environment of harvest. And I'm in my harvest right now. I'm in my season of breakthrough. I'm in my environment of the miraculous. So I can't help but tell people about it. So why don't you stand to your feet right now? Because I want to ask you, if you're in this place and you're in that season where you feel like you're in the winter season, the season where all hope is lost, where you feel like, am I ever going to get through this? Am I ever going to get out of this? Am I ever going to break through this? And we're going to sing this song and we're going to worship in just a moment. And I want you, if you're in here today, this isn't the end of service. Service is still going. If you're good and everything's great on the inside of you, well, then worship for somebody around you. And I want to ask you, if you're in here and you feel like you're in that winter place, you're in that season, and you want to leave here with an environment that has shifted, an environment that has changed, the greenhouse effect, where a storm can be raging around you, but on the inside, a harvest is growing within you. And if that's you, I just want you to do something bold and just lift your hands up right now, all throughout this place, saying, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me. God, I'm ready for my harvest. God, I'm ready for my season. And we're just going to worship right now. We're going to sing this song. And I want you to sing it. I want you to believe that the anointing of God right now is going to rest on you. The power and the presence of God is going to fall on you right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this.
You forever, for eternity I'll sing.
right now, as you're standing, I want you to just close your eyes as we finish the service. I want to ask you if there's anybody in here with your eyes closed and you're far from God and you want to have a relationship with God. Let me tell you how you know, because right now your spirit is calling out for God. That feeling that you have on the inside of you is your spirit saying, I want to come home. I want to connect with my Savior. And we have another minute left, and I want to do this before we finish right now. With your eyes closed, from the back to the front, first time or 100th time, doesn't matter where you've come from, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what has happened around you or to you, all I know today is that God wants to connect with you. At this moment, wants to change the atmosphere and the environment that you're living in. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you if you're in here and you want to give your life to Jesus, want to surrender to Him. On the count of three, I want you to ask you to lift your hand up nice and high and say, yeah, that's me. Today, I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you right now, on the count of three, one, two, three. If that's you, just lift your hand up nice and high. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, thank you. I see that hand all the way in the back. Thank you. Two up there. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Come on, just 10 more seconds. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Praise God. 10 more seconds. Thank you back there. I see that hand. The presence of God is on you. The power of God has anointed you. Today is a new day for your life. Today is a new day. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Thank you right there. I see that hand. Thank you over there on the front. I see that hand. So proud of you. 10 more seconds right now. Don't wait. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. There was nothing. It's not about what's wrong with you. It's about what's right with you. Thank you, young man. I see that hand. So proud of you. It's a new day for you. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He's restoring all your hope. He's restoring all your hope. He's restoring all your future. This is what I want you to do. Every single person who lifted your hand, can you please, please, today is the day. Don't let this decision just be a decision that you make and then you leave here and go back to your life. Your same old life, the same way of living. Today is a new day. If you just look to your right over here, there's a thing called a response lounge. Every person who raised your hand, we have an incredible team that want to make sure that the decision that was made here doesn't just stay here. And we want to pray with you. And just on your way out, I want you just to stop there for 2 minutes and they're going to pray with you. And they're going to follow up with you. It's not about what's wrong with you. It's about what's right with you. Everybody needs somebody who can hold their hand so when you're going through winter, they can keep you in the harvest. And so that's what we want to do with you today. So every person who raised their hand, I want you to go there as soon as we finish the service. Why don't you lift your hands up? Let me pray for you. God, I thank you right now for an anointing. God, I thank you for Pastor Matt and Loren Tuggle right now. God, I thank you for a new anointing to rest on their life. A new anointing right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you anoint their head with oil and their cup overflows. God, for every person in here today, God, that we would encounter a new presence and powerful encounter with you today. We thank you, Jesus, that something is going to stir in us this week. God, that the barista that we've walked by 100 times, something is going to compel us to invite. The neighbor that we always see, something is going to compel us to knock on their door. The family member that says they're an atheist, something is going to compel us to bring. God, that we would go out to the highways and the byways and bring the people into the house of God. God, I thank you that we're going to do it because today we have seen it and today we have heard it. And we cannot help but speak about the great things that God is doing. Let the anointing in the presence of God fall on every person here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. We love you, church. If you raise your hand, make sure you go to the response lounge. Pick up your cards on the way out. Bring. We'll see you back here Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Love you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.